Appreciate the selection of songs and the singing this morning. We're commanded to sing, and that was good, and we had a good prayer. And we trust as we study the Word of God together that we'll be benefited. I'm going to teach a lesson here I think is very important. It was one that Paul taught to the brethren of Galatia, found in Galatians, the third chapter, and verses 16 through 27. I believe in this lesson we have kindly of a plan, or we do have a plan of what God planned for the people down through the stream of time. And so God is creator of man. It's in God that we live, move, and have our very being, and we are dependent upon God. More and more I keep that in mind, and I think about that more. If we're not God, I would not be here. If we're not God, I would not even be breathing right now. And it's through Him that I have my existence. So it's a great privilege this morning to talk about Him and talk about His Word and teach those things concerning what He has given to us. We're going to begin in the third chapter, verse 16, and we'll cover the verses there. And I want you to follow closely, because verse after verse, it leads right down to the final verse that we'll cover here this morning. Let's notice now in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we find here that the covenant was made with Abraham and his seed. That seed referred not to the Jewish people, but to Christ. So when he made that promise to Abraham in the long ago, long before the law was ever given, it was that Jesus Christ would come. That was a plan of God, that Christ would come. And no doubt before man was ever created, and he had planned that man might be created, might live, God made a way for him. So we find now that the seed he talks about there is Christ. Okay, let's notice next now. This covenant had not been fulfilled when the law was given. The coming of Christ was still in the future. So keep that in mind. What God done, he made a promise. Just like if I made a promise right now, and this would be way in the future, and 430 years from now, something else was given. That did not do away with that promise. In other words, that promise was given. And so the covenant had not been fulfilled when the law was given. And so this promise was not in the law, that is the Old Testament, as we have it. Now let's notice on further. Now he said not to seeds. Now it means that there is significance in the singular. Notice that. There's a lot of significance in the singular here. A form of expression as pointing to the fact that one descendant seed is intended, and that is Christ. And I want you to know, folks, this morning, that Christ is the center of everything. Everything was based upon Christ. Everything was based upon His coming. Everything was based upon His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Everything is based on that one fact. So He says now, not to seeds, not as of many here, but it was now of one, and that seed which is Christ. So today he has only one seed, and that is Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's notice here the next verse now. He says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that he should make the promise of none effect. Now, what God did, he made this promise to Abraham and told him that in his seed and others, or in his seed, should all nations earth be blessed. Now, there was his physical descendants. Now, his physical descendants come into effect 430 years after. Now, these physical descendants, they were Jews. They were the children of Abraham. And physically, they were the children of Abraham. Well, 430 years after that, when this law was given, that did not make this promise of none effect. Now, what these Jews were saying, they were saying, well, we are Jews. Our father's Abraham. God made a promise to us. Therefore, we don't need anything else. We don't need the new law. We don't need the new covenant. We're the children of Abraham. Well, what he's telling them now, that this that was given now, that it did not make it that way. Now, if the covenant, once in force, cannot be changed or rendered void by any subsequent action, God's covenant with Abraham cannot be changed or rendered void by the subsequent law. Now, what I'm saying is that when the law of Moses was given, it did not render this covenant that a promise that God made to Abraham, it did not render it void. It didn't do it out of the way. It didn't take it out of the way. It had a purpose to serve, as we'll notice here in just a few moments. So let's notice now, next here, in verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Now notice what Paul teaches. If this inheritance that we receive is this which we're going to have, if it be by the law, it's no more of promise. Now we find here God gave to Abraham by a promise. Now notice, law and promise exclude each other. The inheritance was given to Abraham by a promise. Ours depends on the promise. But these Jews, they were trying to hold to the law. Now, we obey the law. We've got the law. We don't need this promise. We don't need Christ. Well, Paul's pointing out to them that their idea and their thoughts are wrong. Now, we notice further here that in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? What's the purpose of the law? Why was it given? Well, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made and was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, why was the law given? Well, it's simple. It was given to show sin in its true light. It made sin really what it is. It specifies offenses that from that time forward would be transgressions of the law. Now, sin was in the world from the time of Adam, Abraham, down to Moses. It was there. However, when there's no law, there's no sin. Now, used to, you go up the Kansas Turnpike, they didn't have a speed limit. You could drive 100. You could drive 30. Drive anything you want to. But now, they have a speed limit. If you go over 80, I believe it is, on that turnpike, what do? You violate law. But where there's no law, there's no sin. Many new laws have come in. People violated, done many things they can't do anymore. Well, that was what this law was. Now, this sin was here. Now, let's notice next under this. The seed, Christ, whose event was to introduce the fulfillment of the promise. Now, Christ is that seed, till the seed should come. And so, Christ, whose event was to introduce the fulfillment of the promise. So what this done? This prepared this Jew for Christ that he was going to come. It pointed time after time, and more it was revealed that Christ would come. And it come down to that particular time. Now, I've had people ask me, well, why did Christ come when he did? Because it was the perfect time. God ran him. When will this world end? At the perfect time. When God says it will. I don't know. But I know we're getting closer. I know that. Every day we're getting closer. And I know a lot of us, all of us, getting closer. Some of us closer than others as far as we're concerned. But that time will come. And so he pointed this out now. All right? Let's notice next. He says here in verse 19 that it was here. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, it's used of Moses. Now, Moses gave that law. Moses was that mediator as of one who brought the commands of God to the people of Israel and acted as a mediator with God on behalf of the people. Now, Moses gave that law. Moses gave that law. He gave it to them. He instructed them. He was a mediator. Go to God for them and so forth. They had the priest. They'd come. They'd confess their sins and so forth. And they would intercede there. And he went now was that mediator. And so the law came by Moses. And as John says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see the difference? The law came from Moses. And I want to emphasize this morning, we believe the law. We believe it had its purpose. And we believe that it ended. But we still believe it. Some people say, oh, those not members of church. Oh, you don't believe the law of Moses. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, sir. But we believed it served its purpose. And we'll find further here what its purpose was. And so we find that Moses now was a mediator for man. All right? Let's notice now. Verse 20. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Notice that. A mediator is not a mediator of one. I can't be just a mediator for one of you. It has to be two. But God is one. God is one. Now, mediator implies two parties between whom one acts. And I've been asked many times during my preaching career to be a mediator. Brethren have problems. They've called me in as a mediator. Not so with God. And I mediated between them. But God is one. And so God here does that. Now notice next. God is one. Now here it is. The idea is that that when God makes a promise by his sovereign power, no mediator is required. God acts alone. And I want you to know, God gave us everything that we have. God done that. He gave it to us. Didn't consult man. Didn't ask man. Cared not what man might want. Because he created man. And so God acts alone. Now, notice next. This was true. When the promise made to Abraham, hence the law was not due to a change of divine mind. God acted alone when he made that promise to Abraham. Yes, sir. He chose Abraham. I can't say why he chose Abraham, but I can say that he did. Why? I don't know. That was his choice. So what did God do? God made a promise to man. He told man, I've made you in my likeness, my image, and so forth. He told man, here's a garden. It's yours. But that tree there, you don't eat of that tree. But man, the woman said to him, oh, that's good. Satan did. Oh, Satan tempted him. He said, that's good. No, eat of it. What was pronounced on him? Death. So what God did then, man is sinned. He needs a Savior. What did he do? He promised, as we've already noticed, he promised there in verse 18, 19, and here, he's promised now that he's going to redeem man through that seed which is Christ. And there's only one God, one Christ, one Holy Spirit. Those three in the Godhead. Now, when he made that promise to Abraham, he does not change his mind. That was not a change of mind when he gave the law. Because the law had its purpose. It served for that purpose to bring people prepared for Christ. What if Christ had come before the law was given? People say, what's that? We're good. We haven't sinned. We're not wrong. Well, what did this do? This pointed out everything. And it pointed to man, you've got to have a redeemer. You've got to have someone to save you from this. So that law was added, verse 19, because of those transgressions. Now, God is one. All right? Let's notice further here now in verse 21, Galatians 3. Is the law then against the promise of God? Okay, there's another question. Is the law against the promise of God? God forbid. Don't even think the thought. Do away with the thought. Let me emphasize something this morning, friend. Don't ever question what God has done. Don't ever question that. I was studying with young people one night and brought out what Scripture says. And one of the sisters, young girl, asked me, said, why did God say that? Why did God do that? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to question it. You see what I'm talking about? Don't question why God done it. And I want you to know, people today question God. Well, why did God do this? Why did God do that? Don't question God. No, sir. Because it all works out. And we're going to see right here in just a few moments how this all worked out so perfect. And I want you to know, I've thought about it a lot the last few years. Man has gone out here. He can tell you when there's going to be a new moon. He can tell you when there's going to be a full moon. He can tell you everything. And he can tell you a lot of things. And you know, God created all that. And that's been in existence from the very beginning. But I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how it does it. But I can tell you he does, and God is that. And so we find here that he gave this a law. So it's not against, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now, here's what he's saying. The law of Moses could not give life, eternal life. It could not. But a new law can give it to us, a new spirit. Now, as we were taught last Lord's Day, the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9, there is no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I want you to know, if that law, it could not give that life. If it could have, there'd been no use for that. For righteousness should have been by the law if that law here had given life. Now, the law and the promise are not in conflict because each had a distinct function. Now, the law and promise, they're not in conflict. Why? Because had one each distinction. Now notice closely what it was. The law was a ministry of condemnation. If you don't obey the whole law, you're condemned. If you violate one passage, one part, you're condemned of all. See? But what happened? The promise is a ministry of salvation. In Christ, that's the promise of salvation. Not in the law, in Christ. You see the point? And so when Christ comes, we have that ministry of salvation. Now, I want you to notice this, and I think this will bring it out very clearly. Let's notice the next point. Very frequently, get this now, a thing cannot accomplish an end, which cannot accomplish an end, may be helpful when placed in a position that can be reached. Now, something might be whereby that it don't accomplish an end, but it brings it up to that where it can be accomplished. Now follow me closely. Primary school, first, six, seven, eight grades, that can teach no Latin, no Greek, or higher mathematics can never teach those things. I've got a granddaughter, great-granddaughter, going to start kindergarten this year. And I'll tell you one thing, they won't be teaching her calculus, geometry, algebra, even higher mathematics. They won't be teaching her that. No, sir. And if you're starting, and some of your children in school now, you've never taken those things. But what happens? In that primary school, it's necessary to prepare them for the school that can teach them. The old law could never teach these people the plan of salvation, what it meant for Christ to die, how it would be through Christ, how it would be in the New Testament they'd be saved. But I'll tell you what it could do. It could bring them up to that law that did teach them. That's how simple it is, folks. I want to tell you something. It takes a smart man and a worldly wisdom to confuse that. Because Paul just plainly teaches what it is. Yes, sir. We don't start, people don't start out in college, never gone to school. They learn those things. And they learn those things. And those things had to be learned so when Christ come, they would fully understand that. Isn't it sad that these Jews could not grasp that? You know why? They wanted their way. They want their way. They want their own feelings. They didn't want what God wanted. They wanted what they wanted. And so these people did that. So those things are very necessary to prepare us for that. And that's the reason when one is becomes a child of God, we start teaching them. And they're to be taught those primary things. And they grow and they grow and they grow and they grow more. And I want you to tell you something. This is something that never ends, is spiritual growth. It never stops. You've got to continue to do that. And so we see that. Now let's notice the next thought here. The law could not, law of Moses, bring righteousness, but it could discipline, educate, and prepare them for the testament, that is the New Testament, that could make them righteous so they could receive final forgiveness. Yes, sir. So they could do it. That's what it done. It prepared those people. The law did. It could not bring righteousness, but it could discipline, educate, and prepare them for the New Testament that could make them righteous as they could receive final forgiveness. They could have forgiveness of sin. And that's what the law could do. No, today we cannot be saved by the law of Moses. No way. No way. Because we're not under that law. And so we find that that is true. All right, let's go on. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I want you to notice here that all scripture, or the scripture rather, has concluded all under sin. That's every human that ever lived. That's all. All mankind. They are condemned under sin. Now, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And I want you to know, faith is important. We've been accused sometimes in the church of not believing in faith. I want you to know, I believe in faith a lot stronger than most of those people believe in faith. Why? Because it says, without faith, it is impossible, please God. I want you to know, folks, you've got to have faith. And I want the sinner to know they've got to have faith. And it's through that faith in Christ that we have that. And so he tells us, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given them that believe. Believe what? Believe what he's taught. Believe what he's given. Believe his word. Have faith in it. Friend, don't never read something in the Bible and look and say, I kind of doubt that. I don't know whether I believe that or not. I want to tell you, I believe it. Yes, sir. I believe it. Why? Because it's there. God said it. And so that's what he tells us now. Now notice, all have sinned, both Jew and Gentile. Way out here where the problem was, this old Jew said, I'm a child of Abraham. I was born a Jew. I'm a Jew. This Gentile over here, he's not part of us. He can't come in unless he be circumcised. He can't do it. This Gentile over here. Jesus died for me. That Jew, he's under his law. He died for me. There's conflict. What did Paul do? He's breaking down that middle wall of partition. That old law, he's breaking that down. He's going to take that out of the way, see, Christ is. And that's exactly what he's telling them. All, both Jew and Gentile, the design of the law was paved the way for the eventual fulfillment of the promise to all that believe by faith in Christ. Yes, sir. That was the design of the law. Paved the way for the fulfillment of the promise to all that believe by faith in Christ. And we have that great privilege today that we can have that faith in Christ, that promise to you, it's to me, it's to every person. God is no respecter of person, and that's the reason we've gone over to Africa, and I want you to know those people over there are as much a children of God as we are. And that Sunday that Francis and I were there, and we worshiped right there among them, and that audience that we looked at was not white people like you. They were every one black. But I want to tell you something. We were all, and I felt just as comfortable worshiping God as I do here right now. Why? He died for those people. He died for those people. Yes, sir. All, Jew, Gentile. It don't make any difference. Why? Because he loved them. And how can they do this now? By faith in Christ. And faith is very important. Faith in Christ. And I want you to know the sinner has got to have faith. When he wants to come to God, he's got to have faith that God will accept him, that he'll obey it, and so forth, and that when he does obey it, he has forgiven sin. He's got to have faith. Yes, sir. And so all have sinned and all have fallen short of this. All right, let's notice verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up in the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now, isn't that interesting there? Notice, the law was to hold in custody those who were subjected to sin so that they should not escape the consciousness of their sin and their liability to punishment. They cannot be liberated except through faith. Not that law. What did that law do? Kind of like a jailer. Kept them confined. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All that law. They were kept under that. Why? To hold them. To bind them. When? Until after, when that faith, which is afterwards, be revealed. Who's going to reveal it? God. How? Through Christ. When? When Christ come to earth? When he died, buried, resurrected, went back to the Father? Then it was revealed. That's when it's revealed. Not before that. Not before his death. Not before his burial. Not before his resurrection, but after. It was promised. We have the gospel in promise, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have it. But afterwards, they could. So the only way that they could be liberated would be through that. So it points out to them now that they must do that if they were to escape this punishment. All right? Let's notice here. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What was the law? The law was our schoolmaster. Now, the law served here as a tutor to train the Jews for Christ. Now, look, under that Old Testament, everything pointed to Christ. Everything. That whole law is a tutor. And, you know, parents take their children to school. They let them go in, and they're under their school, their tutor, see. The law brought people to Christ, and when that law lets them out, then they come into Christ. The law served as tutor to train the Jews for Christ. And I want you to know, those Jews did not have an excuse when they rejected Christ. They had nothing to stand on. I want to tell you something, folks. You listening? Anybody that rejects Christ today don't have a leg to stand on either. Anybody that rejects what he tells us to do in this Bible right here, in this book right here, doesn't have a leg to stand on. I don't care what the smartest man in this whole world said. And that includes the Pope at Rome. I don't care what he says. If it's contrary to this, it's not worth a dime. Yes, sir. And there's a lot of people that serve him. Oh, he's come out lately. I didn't read, hadn't read it yet. Francis read it in the paper and was telling me about it, how that all the Catholics, he wants to get them back, you know, where they're really just under his power, listening to what he says. I could care less what he says. But I tell you what, I care a lot what this says. I care a lot what this says. So what was that? It was training those Jews for that, so that they might be justified by faith. And I want to emphasize that I believe that strongly. Okay? Let's notice on now, the next verse. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. When that faith has come, what? Christ? That faith, that word, Christ, and so forth. When that's come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. When they were brought to Christ, they did not need the tutor any longer. They're no longer under the tutor. What was the old law? Tutor. Christ come, don't need no law no longer. Not under it. Why? Because we have Christ. We're no longer under that tutor. So we become a child of God. Keep that in mind. That is very important. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And folks, I've preached it many times before, and several here have preached it, how the law has been done away with. We just have scripture after scripture where the law we're no longer under has been done away with. May I say something just here? I've had people, when I would talk to them about baptism, ask me about the thief on the cross. Was he baptized? And I'll tell you what. I don't argue with them. I don't tell them, well, there's a lot of water around and a lot of people being baptized, and the scripture says all baptized. That's no defense for it. I'll tell you what the defense was. I'll tell you what. Paul teaches in the Hebrew letter that a testament is of force after men are dead. While a testator liveth, it's not of any strength. It's a force after death. And I want you to know, before Jesus died, that thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. And before Jesus died, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, or thou shalt be with me in paradise. Yes, sir, I believe the thief was saved. Do you believe the thief baptized? I'll just say no. Oh, then you believe we've got to be baptized? Yes. Why? Because he was saved before Jesus shed his blood. You see the difference, folks? Rightly divide the word of truth. That's what Paul tells us to do. And so that faith, and now when that faith's come, we're no longer under that tutor. Okay, now let's go to the next verse. Now, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How did you come children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Do I believe that? Yes, sir, I believe that. Yes, sir, I believe that. We've come by faith in Christ Jesus. Now get it. The point Paul's seeking to establish, and the idea is, as sons of God in Christ, Jews are made such not by circumcision, but by faith. And they want to compel these Gentiles to be circumcised to be saved. And that's what Paul is teaching them. And he's teaching them where they can't deny it. No way, no form, and no fashion. But I want you to get it. We find here now that the point that Paul is making is that they're the sons of God here by faith. Now, here comes the context. Verse 27. For, follow it, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it shows that we can get into Christ without being baptized or in any other way. Now, these people that he told have faith in Christ, he told those people in order to get in Christ. Now, you cannot be saved unless you're in Christ. Do you believe that? I do. You cannot be saved unless you're in Christ. How do you get into Christ? I'm going to take what he told me. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the only way you get to Christ. That's what he told these Jews. That's what he told these people. That's the only way you can get into it. That's what he said, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. We're baptized into Christ. And the very same act of baptism that puts us into Christ puts us into the body. What's a body? He's the head of the body, the church. For his body's sake, which is the church. He's the head of the church, the body. Baptism, folks, is very important. It's very essential. I didn't give it. Man said, oh, you mean me, tell me? Man, go down to that water, a dry sinner? And come up a righteous man? Yes, sir. Does water do anything? No. But that obedience does. That faith. Listen, faith is faith in Christ, in his word. And in his word, he told me to be baptized. Jesus told the apostles when he sent it forth, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I can't change that. I didn't come up with that. You see the point, you see how important it is? For by one Spirit, so far as many of you has been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. Baptized. The believer is baptized in Christ by being found in him has put on Christ. And being found in him has put on Christ. I got up this morning. I got dressed. I wanted to get into my coat. My coat was laying there. And I'm going to get into that coat. When I get into that coat, and I come in here, and I get this coat on, and if I can get my sleeve in there, it's not that hard to get in Christ, but it's not that hard to get in this coat. Oh, just a second, excuse me. But I want to get my point over here. Now, I put on, got into that coat, and I walked in the kitchen, and Francis said, I see you've put your coat on. How did I put it on? I got into it. How did I put Christ on? I get into it, and I put Christ on. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Folks, that's the only way you can get there. That's the only way I'll find. You can go through the scripture, you can bring up all the scripture you want to, but if you write the divine word of truth and let it be that way, it will. Now, put on to become so possessed of the mind of Christ as in thought, feeling, action to resemble him and as it were to reproduce the life he lived. That's what a Christian is, Christ-like. He lives a life like Christ lived. Yes, we're different, folks. Every one of us has been baptized in Christ. We're different this morning. We're not like that. Yes, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of man-made religion. There's a lot of doctrines of men. Man has come up with all these things. But I'll tell you what, in that final day, when this book right up right here is open and we're judged, we'll be judged. That's whether we obey those scriptures that we've talked about this morning. You see what Paul has done? He's went back to that promise. Here's that fulfillment of that promise that we can have that eternal life, and we can have it. Be thou faithful unto death. And that's reading it tells us to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, you'll never fall. You know whether you're living a Christian life or not, if you're doing his will. And I tell you, when you learn something, just accept it. Don't accept it because I said it. Don't accept this morning because I said it. You accept it because I gave you the word of God that said it. Christ said this. The apostle said this. Holy Spirit guided the apostle in saying this. I think that's all that I gave Nathan there, but I want to read verse 28. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What? In Christ this morning, in this audience, there's not a Jew or Greek. There's not a bond or free. There's not a male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. As I've told you many times, Francis is my wife. Human son. I don't have another wife. Never have had. Never will have. Been with her 63 years. She's my wife. But in this assembly right now, she's my sister in Christ. She's no more to me right now in Christ than every one of you women here. Because she's my sister in Christ. So when it comes to this, we're all one in Christ. All of you are my, I had physical brethren, brothers, they're dead. But all of you are my spiritual brothers in Christ. Yes, sir. So we're all one in Christ. Folks, too much teaching in the Bible that we're one. We're to obey the same commands. We're all to do the same thing. God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter person. That's my lesson. If you never obeyed that, we're very interested in you and your soul. Why don't you just step out this morning? Do what Christ told you, not what man tells you. I'm going to tell you what Christ told you. Paul said, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We got to believe. Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, one of those people, listen, they heard a sermon like this. And those people said, men and brethren, we crucified Christ. We put him to death. What can we do? Peter gave them a simple answer. They believed. Said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. That's how you get forgiveness of sins. Be baptized for them. Ethiopian eunuch. He was happy. Read along. There in chair reading. Book of Isaiah. And preacher run up to him. You understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man should guide me? Acts 8. He began the same scripture. Preached him Jesus. Preached him Jesus. You know that man asked a question. Why did he ask it? If he preached to him Jesus, why did he ask a question? He asked him, said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why did he ask him that? Why did he preach to him? Why did he preach to him, Jesus? Why did he preach to him? You know what he told him? If thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. You know what he answered? I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. What did the preacher tell him? Commanded the chariot to stand still. Both of them went down the water, both Philip and eunuch. They both come up out of the water, both Philip and eunuch. The Philip, he went on his way, and this eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Past sin had been forgiven. He'd been added to the church. He was one of God's children. Every case we have in the book of Acts where somebody's saved, it's either implied or specifically pointed out what they done. Friend, it's that simple. God gave it. I didn't. I would have, and you would have, anybody else would. We'd have messed it up if he'd left it up to us. But he didn't leave it up to us. So this morning, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you understand it, if you don't, we'll be glad to talk to you further about it. We'll be glad to discuss it with you anytime and point out to you. And there's lots of scriptures that point it out. We've just covered these. We would ask you to obey it if you believe it. Or if you've obeyed that and you haven't added your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godly, brotherly, kindness, charity, haven't lived as close to the Lord as you should, we'd invite you to come and make that right, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Opportunity is yours while we stand, while we sing.